Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
But there is something clearly wrong with the woman on the right. Not saying that she's not worthy and deserving of love, because she is. But she's unhealthy. She can hardly fit in her freaking shoes. Why on earth would we promote people walking around and looking like this? And it's honestly mean to say that someone is beautiful and all this stuff when it's like we're literally lying to them and making them think that it's okay to be that way when it's really not, because it's hurting their health and it's shortening their lives. If you really care about people, you tell them the truth.
Seems like a pretty reasonable and empathetic take that no one would have a problem with. Now let's hear a fat acceptance advocate tell this person how hateful and problematic her words are.
Here's a point-by-point breakdown on why everything that creator said is not okay and wrong. To start, you cannot determine someone's health just by how they look.
Well, we're off to a good start here. Let's throw out decades of standard practice and diagnosis because someone got offended by what you put in the signs and symptoms section of her medical charts. I wonder if she's ever accused anyone of spreading misinformation, because this is one of the most anti-science things I've heard the fat acceptance people say. And I mean, to believe what she said, you would have to have zero exposure to the medical industry. Even in a basic CPR class, they tell you to make judgments on someone's state of health based on the way they look.
Someone, thin or fat, could be experiencing suicidal ideation or other mental health struggles, could be addicted to something.
You mean like a food addiction? You can't visually see if someone has one of those, right?
Could have really high cholesterol or low bone density or too high of a resting heart rate. They might have a chronic illness or other autoimmune disease. They, even yes, thin people could have type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure.
Yeah, I guess, but that still doesn't prove your previous statement of you can't judge a person based on the way they look. I mean, I can literally see the lymphedema on this woman's legs, who you're saying that we can't assess based on appearance. Lymphedema is a chronic disease that is deadly if you don't treat it. And wasn't there a video I did discussing how much people who weigh that much have to worry about various skin diseases or infections that get caught in their skin folds and are deadly if they don't regularly wash? All of which you could diagnose by looking at someone. Honestly, I don't get how you could be so selfish that not only do you lie to yourself about things that you know are obviously untrue, but then you go out into a public space and bully someone who is trying to help people get over an addiction because her words make you look bad. That is what all these fat acceptance people are doing. They are harming the lives of other impressionable and vulnerable people just so that they can look good without doing any work. That's not caring or empathetic. It's sociopathic. So let's continue listening to this sociopath.
And while no one owes you health, only thin people are assumed to be healthy and thus left alone. But they might not be healthy, and that's fine, especially given our lack of access to affordable, quality healthcare.
It's funny that you bring medical care up, because do you know who some of the most expensive patients to treat are? People who are morbidly obese. Not only do they get sick far more often with expensive illnesses and have far more medical issues, but when they're in the hospital, they require beds that are like 5 times more expensive than normal beds. They require specialized equipment so they can be moved or turned properly that healthy weight patients don't need. And nurses constantly get injured from moving obese patients because they are heavy and awkwardly shaped. This person seems to pay no attention to how her decisions harm other people, like increasing everyone's medical insurance costs to pay for her bad choices.
Also, some people are their healthiest when they're fat.
No, they aren't.
And finally, the most reliable explanation scientists have right now for what makes fat people less healthy than skinny people is the abuse they undergo.
What? CDC data of increased risk of heart disease, cancer, and diabetes doesn't count? I want to talk to this person and pick their brain because I'm wondering how you could know so little about health but be so sure in your opinion. Like, how do you get to a point where you can lie to yourself this much?
The fact that they are paid tens of thousands of dollars less per year than their straight-sized counterparts.
Oh my god, the wage gap. They are never going to stop using it. Anytime there is a disparity in earnings, it must be because of bigotry, and not because obese people cost more for corporate insurance policies, and because they can't physically work as hard as someone who is healthy.
The fact that they're harassed in the street, not being able to find clothing that fits, or sit at a restaurant, or fit in an MRI machine to get preventative scans that you need.
You can't be serious. This is a troll. This can't be a real video. You mean to tell me that you eat so much that you can't fit into an MRI machine, and somehow societal bigotry is the problem? Do you know how much it's going to cost for hospitals and clinics to get a separate MRI machine so that you can fit? Besides, if you want to do preventative healthcare, how about you lose weight?
It's the discrimination that makes fat people unhealthy. Nothing else. So actually, unsolicitedly telling fat people the cold hard truth as this creator suggests makes fat people's health worse.
I was in so much disbelief that a real person said this that I spent quite a while looking through her TikTok to see if this was a troll account. Nope, fat acceptance has gaslit people so well that they are unironically saying this stuff. And I'm almost at the point where I say, you can't blame them, because so many media outlets are lying to them. They even got 60 Minutes to put a doctor on their show to lie to people about health.
Dr. Fatima Cody Stanford, an obesity doctor at Mass General Hospital, an associate professor at Harvard Medical School, says common beliefs about obesity are all wrong.
If you diet, you lose weight, right?
For many of us, we can go on a diet, something like the Biggest Loser, right? You go and you restrict people, you make them work out for 10 hours a day, and then you feed them 500 calories. For most people, they will acutely lose weight.
I think you mean everyone. Everyone would lose weight under those conditions. Not most, everyone. Now, I don't think shows like The Biggest Loser promote healthy weight loss, but if you don't eat very much and exercise a ton, then you'll definitely lose weight.
But 96% of those participants in The Biggest Loser regained their weight because their brain worked well. It was supposed to bring them back to store what they needed or what the brain thinks it needs.
So willpower,
throw that out the window.
She's trying to say it's biology here when it's not biology. It's them going back into their old habits after being forced into anorexia for a weight loss show on TV, which is why I don't like shows like The Biggest Loser. This information is obvious in the fitness industry. People crash diet all the time and gain the weight back from returning to old habits. Why is CBS lying to their viewers? So when I see stuff like this, I just think, how can you blame them? This is a doctor saying this. It's on 60 Minutes, which for the most part at least used to be a well-respected show. But what she's saying is absolute nonsense. Yes, it's true that a lot of The Biggest Loser contestants gain the weight back, but her reasoning for it is completely incorrect. These establishment sources love doing stuff like that. They take issues that have some truth to them, and they'll give you a cause or a solution that is obviously wrong. The wage gap is probably the best example of that. It is true that men make more than women on average, but the cause of that is not sexism. Nor does averaging out all the income mean that women are being paid less than men for doing the exact same work. That's illegal. This 60 Minutes report is just more falsehoods like that and lying to people for political points.
My last patient that I saw today was a young woman who's 39 who struggles with severe obesity. She's been working out 5 to 6 times a week. She's eating very little. Her brain is defending a certain set point.
A set point, says Dr. Stanford, is a range of weight your brain is in charge of maintaining. One theory is that it's an evolutionary survival mechanism that helped retain fat during famines.
This is complete nonsense. Eat at a calorie deficit and you'll lose weight. Once you get to your target weight, don't binge eat back into obesity. Learn to maintain that weight. But I love how they spew a bunch of faulty information about weight loss, and then they show people eating a ton of junk food. Bread, orange juice, french fries with ketchup, and potato chips. Healthy people don't eat this stuff on a regular basis. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if McDonald's or Pepsi sponsored this segment to sell more hamburgers and soda. I'm betting that if someone did some real research, they would find fast food companies or brands that sell junk food funding fat acceptance advocacy indirectly through some corporation with a different name to keep people buying their products. And just in case you still think these people don't eat a lot, a TikTok trend for plus-size people has started, where they show what they eat in a day.
McDonald's breakfast is fire. So I had a hash brown, and then this is a sausage and egg and cheese McMuffin. And everyone is sleeping on these $2 iced coffees from McDonald's. Okay. Then I had a midday turtle sundae. I don't really know what you want from me. I deserved it.
That wasn't a coffee. That was an adult milkshake with sugar and cream, which means it's morning, and this person has already had 2 full desserts. And judging by the size of that iced coffee, those 2 items were probably around 800 calories, and the total meal was probably close to 1,500 calories, meaning that she ate close to her daily maintenance calories just during breakfast.
So I went grocery shopping, and I got myself some popcorn. Of course, I washed it down with water. Then I made myself this little salad for lunch.
I've watched a lot of these what I eat in a days with obese people, and they'll always flex that they're drinking water to be healthy, which makes me laugh because if you're actually skinny, you shouldn't have to mention that you're drinking water because drinking water is a given. Skinny people don't frequently drink stuff that has calories in it, whereas obese people will drink calories from soda, fruit juices, or coffee milkshakes with almost every meal. Then she flexes about eating a salad, but when you look at the salad, she dumped a bunch of oil on it and what looks like coconut, which means that dish that was supposed to be like 50 calories and an opportunity to get micronutrients and fiber is now like 500 calories. And I'm not the only person who's noticed this. Here's a YouTuber looking at some what I ate in a days from obese people.
Salad. That's not a salad, bro. That's a disgrace. There's a lot of mayonnaise on that one.
Yes, I see this all the time. If you're dumping mayonnaise or oil or ranch dressing all over your salad, then it's not a low-calorie meal, which destroys the whole purpose of eating a salad. Here's another thing that I and other people have noticed as well.
It was pretty good, to be honest.
That looks pretty good, bro. What? Bro, I've seen food in the gulag looking better, but what the hell is that? Bro, I swear to God, like, I am fat. I'm very fat, but some of these things that the people eat here on this app, like, I would be shitting my brains out the next day.
Absolutely. If you look at these food compilations, then you'll see these people eating some of the most disgusting crap I've seen. No wonder they have to dump a bunch of sugar and oil all over everything to make it taste good, because they have no idea how to cook. It's a lot easier to be satisfied with smaller amounts of food when you rely on spices, food pairings, and presentation to make your food taste good, rather than just dumping a bunch of processed calories all over your lack of culinary skill. And keep in mind, this is what they eat when they're pretending to be healthy, so maybe they do this like 1 or 2 days a week. When they feel guilty, they'll only eat like a 500-calorie surplus in a day instead of a 2,000-calorie surplus. But the reality is, for the bigger ones, their meals look a lot more like this girl who's taking what looks like a slice of pizza that is over 1,000 calories. A single $2 Costco pizza slice is like 600 to 700 calories, and this looks like it's about twice the size of that. And you can see her plate is dirty, so this isn't her first slice. Again, eating an entire day's worth of calories in just one meal, that's what reality looks like. Here's another reality.
And you know the thing that I always notice with these videos? It's always women in their 20s who make these videos. It's never the 30, 40, 50-year-olds. I wonder what happens to the ones who are in their 50s.
Yes, where are all the fat acceptance advocates in their 50s and 60s? Strange that they all seem to be young. Well, I can tell you where some of them have gone. This woman here, Sarah Harry, was a fat acceptance advocate in an Australian news report who taught yoga and wrote a book called Fat Yoga. She died in her 40s of an unspecified illness. I wonder what it was. Kat Pazze was a very outspoken fat acceptance advocate and taught fat studies. She mysteriously died in her sleep at the age of 42. Her cause of death was also unspecified. What a coincidence. Adrienne Bennett was a small content creator who would share her travel experiences, who unfortunately died at the age of 39. That is so young. All these people could have lived twice as long with proper diet and exercise. This time, her cause of death was sort of specified. A GoFundMe said that she was hospitalized for blood clots in her lungs and was released, but later was found unresponsive, which for those of you who don't have any medical training, means that she was unconscious and would not respond when people tried to wake her. And then she passed in the hospital a few days later. Rest in peace. Last, there is Jamie Lopez. Apparently, she dropped down from 800 pounds to 400 pounds, which is amazing, but later died of a heart attack at only 37 years old. And keep in mind, these are just the ones we're hearing about. Who knows how many people who would have gotten better have died because they were tricked into believing this ideology from activists. They were tricked into believing that being 350 pounds is healthy. The funny thing is, and here's something I just found out, is that there are fat acceptance podcasts, and some of the people who promote this stuff are so evil that they'll say this.
I've had to say to my manager that if I ever die of diabetes or heart disease or cancer, I'm going to have to just have him throw me out in front of a bus. So there's too many people who would be like, told you so. I'd be like, oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh,
totally.
Shit. My last words will be, it's not fat related.
Totally.
You mean that you're so hellbent on not being wrong that you would rob people of information that led to your demise just so you'll look good? Again, how are these people caring and empathetic? They sound like they're in a cult. And don't forget how poorly they treated Adele when she lost weight. They threw her under the bus when she decided to get healthy. Also, this person.
I actually feel kind of guilty for being a part of this movement. I see a lot of fat girls who gained a lot of weight from being caught up in this movement and turning around 5, 6, 7 years later talking about, damn, I let my health go. I got this problem now. I'm 400 pounds. I can't do this. I can't do that. Because when you're in your 20s, you think that life is just rainbows and candy. You don't even think about the future. But when you start creeping up in age, babes, it's going to catch up to you. I don't care what nobody say. Now you're 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, whatever the case is. And you're like, damn, I can't get pregnant. I have this problem. I got that problem. The problems creep up, babe. And the reality is, loving yourself also includes taking care of your body. But let's be fucking for real. Health is real. Organs failing is real. Diabetes, heart disease, all that is real, okay? So to the younger girls, the younger generation, take care of your health. It's not fatphobic to take care of your health. It's not a joke. And I'm saying this out of love, not out of self-hate.
They harassed this person so much for trying to warn young people about the health issues of obesity that she deleted the video. I yet again do not get how you come off as the compassionate one when you lead a harassment campaign against someone who is trying to help people. And honestly, these people always want to talk about how certain words should be used to save everyone's feelings, when in reality, they only care about feelings when it's something that makes them look bad. Did they care about how Gabby felt when they harassed her? Did they care about how Adele felt when they harassed her as well? No, they didn't. You guys don't care. You're not compassionate. You don't have empathy for other people's experiences. You're just a bunch of sociopaths who only care about yourselves, and worse, you are actively stopping people who need help from getting better. That's evil. Ultimately, this all comes down to an issue with skill, because weight loss is a skill. And I think Joe Rogan here has a good descriptor of what happens when people lack skill that relates to the whole woke and fat acceptance narrative.
For the people that are starting it out, it establishes that the most important thing is to be funny. Like, this is what the art form is all about. And there's a lot of insecurity attached to that, a lot of fears. And so to alleviate some of those insecurities and fears, people will decide that the message is more important. And they'll pretend that, you know, like, you have to have, like, you have to be socially aware that you have to promote things that are positive in your comedy, which is bullshit. The people that say that, they say that socially important comedy is the only comedy that's necessary, the only comedy that you have to do. That is just because they suck.
Yeah.
That is it. It's like the cop out is that they can't do the real comedy. They can't crush.
He's right. And in the entertainment business, that is something that is super apparent. You'll see people without skill do all kinds of immoral things or adopt certain agendas just to get ahead. And one of the reasons I spend so much time teaching skill building techniques is because high levels of skill tends to keep people from doing bad things. And you can tell who's doing the work and who's not, because this is what someone who is doing the work to lose weight sounds like.
I found Dr. Mike Israetel's TED Talk, The Scientific Landscape of Healthy Eating, and I watched it, and I was like, he is saying stuff that is contradictory to the past 18 years of my dieting. For 18 years of dieting, it has always been something about the food that has been the problem. And what he's saying is, it is not the food that is a problem. And I decided I'm gonna try this thing. I'm gonna fucking sit down. I'm gonna figure out how many calories my body size would burn normally. I'm gonna figure out what a slight deficit is. And then I'm gonna program it for what he's talking about.
This is actor Ethan Suplee, who's been the obese guy in a bunch of movies that you've probably seen. And he went from being 500 pounds to completely jacked with pure hard work and no gastric bypass surgery. He's right. It does not matter what quality food you eat. If you eat too many calories, you will gain weight. To add to that, a bunch of years ago, a guy named Mark Hobb did a study where he ate mostly junk food at a calorie deficit and some vegetables, and he was still able to lose weight.
The majority of my calories are now coming from...
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
These delectable little snack cakes. The exercise is simply to see if these products, which are thought by many to promote or lead to the development of obesity, if they can actually be used to do just the opposite. I'm eating 1,800 calories a day or less, and exercising roughly 60 minutes to an hour and 20 minutes a week. I started out at 200.8 pounds. I'm now down to 195.
Stop blaming the food. If you don't cut calories, then you won't lose weight. What I do find is that when people blame the food, they are just looking for some sort of excuse to give up.
People who've done a ton of diets, I would stop looking to blame food if that's what you're doing. I was of the school of thought that it was food's fault. There was some aspect in food that was doing it. If I blame food or some aspect of food, then it's a more confrontable thing.
I'm guessing he meant more confrontable in terms of him being able to blame the food versus his bad choices about the amount of food he was eating. What eventually got Ethan to change and fix his addiction was the advice from the doctor in the previous clips and, more importantly, negative consequences in his relationships.
And I had met this girl who was just a normal, down-to-earth girl. I really cared about her. And I started to see that the things she wanted in her life were not going to be, I wasn't going to be able to accomplish them in the way she wanted to. She liked to go on hikes. And if we had to go uphill at all, and I mean like 1 or 2%, that's kind of like out for me, or it was.
As much as the fat acceptance advocates want to say that obesity is healthy and obese people can be in shape, the reality is that they weigh so much that even small bouts of exercise can destroy them. If you saw the video that I did on my 600-pound life with Maya, then you saw a person who was basically almost hospitalized from a simple walk through the airport.
This is so much more walking than I even realized I was going to have to do. All this activity is more than I've had in years. My hip is in so much pain.
I'm in so much pain. My legs are so swollen, and I'm really worried that my lymphedema will swell even more.
I'm scared about my legs, and I just don't want to get another infection and end up in the hospital.
Now, there is one particular thing that Ethan Suplee says that I thought was interesting. I know how to lose weight because I was in the fitness industry, and I work out regularly, but I've never been 500 pounds before. So I think Ethan's take on losing weight at that level adds more to the story.
I've done 2 maintenance periods, and this way that I'm doing it, having maintenance periods to like adjust is super key, like in the middle of the program, because you're setting yourself up for some end period where you're like, oh, I've already done that 4 or 5 times. I know what that is, versus fucking white knuckle diet to a point and like, now what do you do? I haven't done this, and now this is just for the rest of my life.
Maybe people who are that heavy don't need to lose it all at once. Maybe there is something to be said from going from 500 pounds to 450 pounds and taking a month off so you aren't always stressing out from being in a calorie deficit. And I think it would also teach you how to maintain your weight early on so that you don't fall into the other trap, which is sprinting down to a healthy weight and then binge eating right back into obesity. I also think he says something else interesting here.
I go to the gym and lift weights with this one goal of retaining all the muscle I have, and I enjoy having that goal. And I have a fat loss goal, and I enjoy having that goal. I enjoy seeing it get closer and closer. I actually believe that I need goals, and if I have no goal, then I'm not producing to my highest.
Whatever plan you end up choosing, the thing that matters most is that you start now, and you keep going and keep pushing through no matter what roadblocks you hit.
If you're tired of starting over, stop giving up.
I know people like to meme on Shia LaBeouf because he does a lot of stupid stuff, but he legitimately has good advice here.
You should get to the point where anyone else would quit, and you're not going to stop there.
That's really all it takes. Just make a plan and stick to it. Stop waiting. Just do it. As you work towards your goal, you'll start learning new information, and then the more time goes on, the more of an accurate plan you'll have to achieve what you want. But none of that happens if you don't get started, and nothing gets accomplished if you don't push through. So many people don't succeed simply because they give up when things get hard instead of working through the difficulty. All you have to do is get to work, don't worry so much about the exact time that you'll achieve your goal, and just take your problems day by day. Anyway, thanks for watching, follow me on Twitter, and I'll see you in the next video.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.